On today's episode, we celebrate Codependence Day, the advantages of being the bottom, and Steve from Blue's Clues makes us all cry. All that and more on today's episode of Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
Help me out, almighty Lori Beth Denberg. Give me that vital information so I get the red thoughts. Who do you? Church of Lori Beth is in session, and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talking to my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me. Oh, my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me. Oh, 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 oh.
Beth Denberg, and welcome to the Bad Advice Podcast. Woo. With me, as always, is Clark Crozer.
Hello.
Hello, Clark.
How are you?
I'm good, since you gave me this new ice.
You like my new ice machine?
Well, I will tell you, I will say to the listeners who I don't think have heard this important bit about me.
Oh, yeah?
I love ice. Yeah. Any drink I have is mostly ice.
Yeah.
And if I don't have ice, if I can, I will put whatever my beverage is in the freezer for a while. But, so I came over here to, you know, do this podcast and talk my brains out.
Yeah.
So now I need some water.
Yeah.
I get ice out of the refrigerator, clinkety clank thing. Clark comes in and goes, you know, we have better ice. And I'm like, really? So there's this little ice machine that makes a little kind of, it's like chewy pellet ice.
It's like Sonic ice. Yes. I think that's what most people know
and
it as.
It kind of like squeaks when you chew it,
yeah,
like cheese curds.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm pretty fucking pleased with that. I have this like goblet of ice slash water.
Yeah, it's amazing. We've been using it nonstop. Every morning Lex goes to school, we fill his thermos with ice water.
Oh.
He still comes. It's amazing because it's the little pellety kind. You think it would melt really quick.
Yeah.
But in the thermoses, it stays alive for like hours and hours. He came home from school one day and his thermos was still clinking from the ice.
Nice.
I was like, that's pretty amazing.
Thank
I love
you,
this
technology.
Ice. But you're doing good?
I'm doing okay. Have How you been are doing, you? What?
Have you been doing anything fun lately?
I have been. I've been busy.
Yeah.
All of a sudden a lot of obligations.
Yeah, right?
This is a wonderful life I have. All these obligations and at the same time managed to get nothing done. So I'm looking for a way to relax. Are you doing anything this weekend?
See, that's the thing. I'd love to go see a movie.
Yeah.
But it's still COVID-y. And I haven't gone into a movie theater in over a year. I used to love seeing movies. And now it's even worse because our friend that we worked with at the ad agency named Chris Cowan.
Ah.
He is a badass cameraman now.
Yeah, he is.
In major movies. He worked on Wonder Woman. He's worked on like really big movies. And he worked on this new Shang-Chi movie, the new Marvel movie.
Okay.
And I desperately want to go see it. I want to support my friend.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that the movies that he works on make lots of money. And I can't do any of that because it's stupid COVID-y times.
Yeah, I agree. And I will also say that I have gone to one movie.
Have you?
I did.
Okay.
I went with my friend and we went to see M. Night Shyamalan's Old.
Oh, because the people at the beach.
Yes, the people at the beach. And because, as I put on Facebook, we love M. Night Shyamalan. We don't care what you say.
All right.
But how was
it?
I mean, being at the theater was strange.
Right?
There were very few people there. It was like this super nice, yummy theater where you order the food to your little seat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, there were, I mean, maybe six of us in the theater. Who
okay,
knows?
That's not that horrible.
And we were like masked except for when we were eating.
Right.
But it's weird. It was very strange going there.
Right.
And the movie itself had tons of trouble, but we still loved it. Because M. Night Shyamalan's films are just like immaculate. They're great.
He has a definite style. If
he
you like his style,
yeah,
then
I like.
It's kind of like any movie he makes you'd like.
Yeah, I would say that I definitely liked it. And it was definitely creepy and emotional, all those kind of things, even though I was like, Really, dude? Oh, no. Something must be going on since you're only showing me the back of this person at length.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I wonder what I'll see when the camera turns around.
Oh, no.
And so there was a lot of like that kind of hoking. And the thing that really bugged me is what happens in a lot of movies where like, it's really clear what's going on. Maybe not why.
Right.
But what is going
on. Right, right,
but
right.
But still for like 45 minutes, they're like, what's happening?
Oh, no.
And it's like, well, they got old. They got old. Something's on this beach and you can't get off it. This is what's happening.
Yeah.
I don't know why. That's a much better, you know, question.
Right.
But it was still that like, what is happening? It's like they didn't even read the script first.
Right, exactly.
But so it was really strange to be there at the theater, but it wasn't very packed. And it's like you're being on this tick more carefuler than me.
Yeah,
but
a little bit.
It's really frustrating.
I'm so nervous. And then the worst thing is our favorite local movie theaters are now dead.
The Pacifics?
Because all the Pacifics are gone.
Yeah.
So those were the main theaters in the valley here that we used to go to, and now they're all dead, so you can only go to AMC, and I don't know. I just, it's been weird. I really want to go back, but...
This is the bailout we needed.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to get political, but like, fuck the banks.
Yeah. Why didn't Pacific Theaters get a bailout?
Right?
Oh,
they should have gotten one of those small business loans that Chick-fil-A and Corner Bakery got.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's...
It's weird.
It's weird and it's difficult and you go, what the fuck?
Yeah, we're living in weird times.
I know. You know?
Everything around us is just odd and weird and never seen before. It's everything is new territory.
And then it's like always like, it's going to get better, right? Yeah. It's getting better, right? No. And then I'm going out and doing a lot of stuff. Like, well, okay. I don't know. I mean, and I'm very respectful. Anyone listening to the show knows that I do take COVID seriously and I take precautions, but I have been going out and living. I mean, we've talked that I've gone. Yeah. We went to the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like you have gone out places.
Sure, sure. I just get nervous when they're in closed places.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Which the Hollywood Bowl is open air loveliness.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know. You could... Would it matter to you how many people were in the movie theater?
Without a doubt. If I knew I was going into a movie theater with six people in it and I could sit like far away from as many people as I wanted, I would go in a heartbeat. But I'm scared that I'm going to go and there's going to be like 50 idiots there that are like, oh, no, nobody's wearing a mask. And
well, what if you went? I mean, what I would say is... I wonder how if they're selling theaters to capacity or not.
I
also think if you go to see this movie at the first, you know, matinee on a Wednesday.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's true.
That you might have luck and you might even ask them like, look, if there's too many people here, can I get my money back?
Yeah, I'm so used to, you know, pre-pandemic, Kara and I had that AMC.
Oh, the thing that bankrupted them?
Yeah, well, no, that was MoviePass. Yes. We had that too. But yeah, we had that card where you could just see like three movies a week. It was amazing. So... Actually, going up and buying a ticket is going to be a new experience for me.
Oh, right?
For
exactly.
For a long time, yeah. So
you're like, what is cash?
Exactly.
I think I was at Chili's. And, you know, years ago, it's probably longer than I think, they started putting those, like, not iPad, but, like, tablet things on the table. And you, like, order stuff through it, and then you do your bill on it.
Pay your bill, yeah.
But I had cash, and I'm just, like, looking and I'm poking at it. And the waitress comes up, and I really just look, and I have the money in my hand, and I go, can I still pay with human money? Like, I really was just, like, so confused and so upset that the world had passed me by.
Right?
And she laughed, and she's like, yes, you can, don't worry. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Yikes.
So, my advice, my bad advice, is fucking go to the movies naked, yeah. No mask, lick the seats.
All right.
No, I mean, that's an interesting thing. If you could ask the ticket taker or manager, like, look, if too many people come in here, can I just get my money back?
Get my money back, yeah. That's a good idea. That's good advice. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, anytime. Especially when it takes up time during this particular hour of our week.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Speaking of, like, things that are rare that have never happened before.
Yes.
We had a very rare occasion this week. We got a little video message, didn't we? Not us personally.
Oh, my God. No, it was.
The world got a video message.
It was just to me personally.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Steve Burns, who's definitely not listening to this podcast, but who was always a yummy potato back when, you know, because our paths crossed.
So we're talking about Steve from Blue's Clues.
Steve from Blue's Clues, Steve Burns.
Made a video and released it this week that was basically just like apologizing for leaving.
Yeah, well, it's the 30th anniversary of Blue's Clues. And so all of a sudden he's there. And it's Clark and I talked about it like a little briefly. And it's interesting because when the video first came on, we both thought different things. What did you think?
I thought as soon as it popped up, like, oh, this is an advertisement for something. Somebody found Steve from Blue's Clues and is getting them to like say all this stuff so that at the end there could be a big twist. And it's like, oh, buy this product.
Priceline.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it was kind of an ad, but not really. It was like an acknowledgement. Exactly. What did you think it was? It was a promotional tool. Yeah.
Well, I was just expecting, because everything in the world is so sarcastic and eye-rolly, that it was going to turn into something like goofy and avant-garde. And then I'm watching it and it's like not. And he's like telling me everything. Meanwhile, okay, let me preface this by saying, when Blue's Clues was on, I think I was in my 20s.
Yeah, exactly.
No, if it's the 30th anniversary and I'm 45.
Right, so you were
I was 15 when it started, but then started working for Nick.
Yeah.
You know, Elodian.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Just in case somebody thought you were working for Nick Geopopoulos.
Yes, exactly. and, you know, ran into hang out with Steve Burns at a couple.
Right.
He actually gave me once a stuffed Blue.
Oh,
like I got a stuffed Blue
from Steve. Wow.
Which I then gifted to a friend's like young child. And I'm like, God damn it. I don't even like her anymore. I could have that. And I certainly was like, well, out of that, but I loved it. I have all these pictures of me at an event.
Right.
That, where there was all this Blue's Clue stuff, and I'm like sitting on the chair talking to Slippery Soap and talking with Mr. Salt and Mrs. Pepper.
Mrs.
Pepper and Mr. Salt. I can't remember. We're gonna get killed for that on the internet. And I could still now, if it was on, I'd be like, a clue. Because that's how I am in real life, regardless. he just starts this, you know, video, and then it's this weird apology, and then it's this weird, like, everyone's on the Twitters and on the everything are doing these like reaction stuff. You know, I never forgot you ever. And it's like, oh, man. Yeah. It's just really, really. I'm afraid to go back and watch it again because I'm sure I'll just like cry. But if I need to cry, it'll be one of those things like girls go, I just need a good cry. Some people put on the movie that makes them cry. Look at the old pictures. I'll be like, kind of put on Steve's video again. But it was just, I mean, that's the thing that I can appreciate, you know, coming from my point of view, where people come up to me and say, you know, how much I meant to them, how much all that and the show and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I know what that's like. Yeah. I literally know what that's like.
Absolutely.
So it's to see the outpouring, first of all, to be affected by it as though I was 5 years old watching it.
Exactly.
Which Clark sees me rolling my eyes because, you know, a clue. But,
I did find it
just gorgeous.
I did find it cute that clearly he's you know, probably he's older now. Yeah. So when you get older, when men get older, they tend to lose their hair. And yeah. some guys, when they start to lose their hair, they just go, fuck it, and shave it all off.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that he did that. I'm pretty sure he's just bald now. But he's wearing the hat with the green crayon yep. on it. And I'm like, oh, it doesn't look perfect, but he still looks right.
Exactly.
You know? And he had that same, like, I wonder if they made, like, if that was a real shirt from the time or if they remade it for him.
I think he wears one every day.
He was totally wearing that stripy shirt that he wore in the show.
Well, I mean, again, he was Steve from Blue's Clues.
Yeah,
His name is Steve Burns, and he's like a performer and a musician.
Yeah.
But so he was portraying Steve from Blue's Clues.
Yeah, totally.
But, yeah, it was, I mean, it was just so special.
That really was awesome.
And I think shit is so hard. Like, you're here sitting, you know, sitting here saying, I really want to go to the movies, but I can't. And it's like, you know, these little things in our lives, even just the little things, let alone the big fucking things, like everyone lost their job. Who has money? Who has life? Who's had a hug? All of that shit.
Right.
You know, and it was just, it's these little things out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like a message from Steve.
Yeah. From out Blue's of nowhere. Clues
that was just like, oh my God. Yeah. Man.
Hit me in the hearts.
Yes.
Well, that was amazing. And I'm sure we'll talk about it more later, but for now, there are a few of our fans that are desperate for some answers. Are you ready to give some advice?
Are we going to hit them in the heart?
We're going to hit them in the hearts.
Okay.
Number one. All right, here we go. We're going to talk to, well, we're not going to talk to, but we're going to listen to Jamie's question.
Okay.
And Jamie says, hi, Lori, Beth, and Clark. I spoke to you guys a while back about my sister not giving me my space. Well, I have something I would like to add on top of that. So in addition to my sister not giving me the space I deserve, there's another thing I've noticed over the years. She and my mother have developed this codependent relationship that is very unhealthy. Now, I love my sister, but she has a mean streak, clearly stemming from her manic depressive bipolar disorder. My mother is constantly making excuses for her, such as, oh, she's just having a bad day, or that's just the way she is. I know a lot of it has to do with losing my brother a few years ago, and then a sister that died before I was born. My sister has been this way for as long as I can remember, as well as their relationship, which I can't stress enough, is unhealthy. How can I address this to both of them without hurting their feelings? Enough is enough, though. This has gone on for far too long.
Jamie, I do remember what, I mean, you reiterated some of the facts,
but
I remember that you said, and you gave us the same stuff again, your sister is bipolar, is mentally ill.
That's right.
But an adult, as your mother, I'm assuming, is even older than you guys.
I would hope so.
Is an adult. So the bottom line is, it's their relationship.
Yeah.
The question is, because I do remember your sister wanting to spend all the time with you and you needed your space. And how do I say that without, you know, and then you're dealing with someone you take care of who's mentally ill. And how much do you give of, how much do you give up
of you your life? Yeah, exactly.
And to acquiesce or to give other people what they need. But if you're just talking about your sister and your mom, it's their business what they're doing. The question is, does shit go on and pieces fall apart that you then are expected to pick up?
Right.
If that's the case, then you can say, and obviously it sounds like you do a lot of the picking up in your family to start with. But I mean, you can always say something, especially if it's something where you're like, they're so codependent and it's affecting my sister negatively, like it's bad for her mental health, it's bad, like whatever it is, you can address it and maybe address it with your mom.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or your sister. You know, I'm even doing this thing like, I think I said this last time, Jamie, I think you and I are a lot alike. So even I'm sitting here going, oh, I'd want to be protective of your sister and not upset her. It's like, she's an adult.
Yeah.
She's an adult with a diagnosis. And you said she's always been this way. It's like, she's always been this way because it's an illness.
Yep.
You know, it's a malady that is what she's got.
Yeah.
But if there are things that how is it affecting you is right. the main question.
Right. Or is it affecting
yeah,
you?
Yeah, or is it?
Other than the fact that you just constantly see them being unhealthy codependent together and the mom constantly excusing everything that the yeah. sister is doing, is any of that disaster falling onto you?
Yeah. What's the fallout of it?
Yeah.
And that's where you can speak up for yourself.
So let's give two answers, okay. right? So if the mom and the sister are just doing their thing and being crazy together,
yeah.
what is Jamie's response to that? God, if it's I not hitting
knew,
her.
I wish I knew the details.
Yeah, right? I don't know.
Are they drag racing at 1 a.m.? Are they doing that game with the knife on the kitchen table?
Oh, yeah, like an alien.
Where you try not to stab your fingers?
Exactly.
And they're like, Jamie, come pick us up. We chopped our fingers off again.
We need to go to the hospital.
We put it in ice. You're like, not again. So obviously that's an extreme example.
Yeah,
if
yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
what's happening, I mean, there is a third, you know... You could blow up the house and collect the insurance money.
There you go.
Get them all together, being codependent. If there's any animals in there, get them out.
Yeah, there. Yeah, smart,
and just,
smart.
You know, live on a beach. Live on the beach where you turn old, but no one understands why for 45 fucking minutes.
Exactly.
So if there are things that fall on you, that fall through the cracks,
yeah.
that the codependent and the crazy mix up together and then spill over the pot,
right.
and you're expected or feel obligated
yeah.
to clean up, you can say, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
That's, you can say, you know, don't come to yeah. me with this.
Yep. 100%.
You know? But I suppose if you did want to say, if you did want to take that tack, it would be smart, wise, considerate, whatever word, good for you to say something initially. And
right.
It's hard to say, hey, two adult women, you're codependent.
Yeah.
You know, it's because it's working, you know, it's like your brother died, your mother's son died, like this, some, I don't want to say, I was going to say weirdness, some perhaps unhealthy attachment or whatever
right.
is commonplace, if not expected.
Yes.
But adding in your sister's mental health and all of that kind of stuff, you know, who knows where the boundaries of like, this is okay or this
yeah.
is damaging lie.
Yeah. And but that conversation, you right, you get them either both or maybe one at a time, you sit them down, you have a little talk with them. But I feel like it has to be more about the stuff affecting you than about how they interact together,
yeah.
right?
Oh,
you're not,
is,
you can comment a little bit on how they interact together, but this, you're sitting them down not to tell them they're being bad,
yeah.
but to say, I quit.
Which is exactly what we told her about her last question. That she was going to sit down. Yeah, no, I remember exactly. Like, she's going to sit down with her sister and not be like, you need to get out of my house.
Right.
But I need my time.
Exactly.
So basically, everyone can just listen to the first question we ever answered on the show and just apply it to whatever's wrong.
Yeah, that's good advice.
It's good advice to never listen to the show again. Yeah, you're dealing with two grown women, even if they don't always act like it, Jamie.
Right.
So, you know, it's their business how they're going to act until it affects you.
Yep.
And then you have the choice to make of, I'm going to say something about this, or I'm going to not take part, or I'm
right.
going to, you know, and if you're the worrier, if
right.
you're the fixer and the worrier and the adult going into everything, it's like, it's hard when you're, I know, because I am, you know, wired like that to take a step back and say, you know, this doesn't have to be my problem.
Yeah. Not every problem can be fixed.
No, not every problem can be fixed. And not every problem is a, like what I was just like smushing on in my brain is like, whatever they're doing that's codependent and unhealthy is not the same as your kid climbing
right.
on the railing of the balcony.
Right.
That's
right.
when you go, hey, I was about to say, hey, idiot, get the fuck over here. But I suppose the better tack would be like, oh, no, that's very dangerous.
Right. What would somebody other than your mom say?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. Exactly. So
yeah, I agree completely. Yeah,
depending on how intense the fallout is from it.
Yeah.
You either have to just let them be adults in an unhealthy manner.
Yeah.
And or say you can be adults in an unhealthy manner, but you're on your own when it comes to getting your fingers reattached.
That's exactly right. That's, I feel like, the perfect answer right there.
Good luck, Jamie.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Sorry about your family.
But hey, you got a good M. Night Shyamalan reference in there, yes, so that was nice.
Exactly. Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
All right, let's move on to question number two. And I'm excited to say question number two is a phone call.
Oh! Woo-hoo.
And I love this. It's from a wonderful lady named Jazz. Take it away, Jazz.
Hey, Lori, Beth, and Clark. This is Jazz calling from Philadelphia. I need some bad advice, and I think you both are pretty good people to ask it. A little about me, I grew up doing musical theater, different art and music stuff, and in my 20s, I ended up getting into doing live music performing. All that being said, as much as I love the arts and have been an actor and a comedian and a lot of different things, none of those things make me money. They give me a lot of other amazing things that money can't buy, but right now I need to pay my rent. And over the last couple of years, I've been thinking a lot about getting into production. And this is something that you and Clark have talked about a good amount on the show. So, long story short, I need some advice on how a freshly 30-year-old girl with no experience outside of being a performer could get into the production world. I don't know anyone who does it. I just know little bits and pieces about that kind of job from watching reality TV and behind the scenes of reality TV. So if you have any advice on getting started doing production, that would be great. Sorry this was long-winded. Love you guys.
Jazz! Thanks for your call, Jazz. I do love the phone calls.
Yeah.
My first bit of advice is you got to be absolutely prepared and willing to start at the bottom.
Yep.
A PA.
Yeah.
A PA is a gopher slash runner slash scapegoat.
I mean, for the first month or two, you might even have to be PA intern.
Yes, exactly. And even those jobs can be hard to come by. It is so much about where you, or she say Philadelphia?
Philly, yeah.
So in Philadelphia, I don't know how much production is going on.
Yeah.
So that's a, that could be an issue. Yeah. Let's give her really bad advice. Move immediately to New York City. I know you can't pay your rent in Philadelphia.
Right, but New
York
City.
But I'm sure you'll be able to find a wonderful dumpster to call home. For just a little more than you're paying now.
Right, exactly.
But so that would be... You know, you say you don't know anybody that does that, but just research, like, what films in Philadelphia.
Yeah, or production offices.
Yeah.
You know, anything related to the business. There's tons of stuff. And I know, Jazz, you're probably thinking about a production job that's on set and, you know, you're bringing things or you're moving things or you're lighting things or whatever it is. But there's also the whole post-production or pre-production aspect to making movies and TV, too. And there's lots of production jobs where you're kind of working in an office and you're working with a sound mixer or you're working with a lighting. Whatever it is, there's tons of different avenues that you could find that might, you know, be in Philadelphia. And then they ship everything to LA for filming or whatever it is. That might be a really good place to start, too.
Yeah, so that is the first place, is to figure out, do a little legwork, be a little sleuthy, and see what productions are around me.
Yeah,
I mean, Philly's a big city. There's definitely things that will be filming there. And truly, I say that not knowing if that's true at all.
It could be even as small as, you know, local news or, local television channels.
Yeah. Because a lot of it, too, is just getting some stuff on your resume.
Yeah.
You can't get work without experience, and you can't get experience without work.
Exactly.
But that's why it's like, you know, be prepared, be willing, be excited to start below the bottom.
Yeah, because that is where you're going to have to start.
That's where you're going to have to start.
Now, mind you, I feel like, at least in my life, because I was a PA for a couple of different shows, I do feel like it's not a lengthy stay of hell, right? You're not going to be a PA for 4 years. Right. PAs.
What if she really likes it?
Unless you love it. Yeah, that's the thing. If you love it, then yeah, you could stay there for a while. But I feel like being on in the production avenue of everything, you tend to kind of fall into places. Oh, somebody needs some help. I'm going to start helping them. And then all of a sudden now I'm a sound assistant.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing is to, sorry if you all just heard me, I'm so into this ice. I just took like a big swig of water and I'm like chewing it. And I'm like, okay, Clark is talking, yes, but my microphone is still on. And I'm like, crunching this ice. Anyway, Jazz, get the ice. If there's anything you can do, get the tiny ice.
The tiny ice.
But part of it, you know, is also, and I've talked about this, and of course it's very different. I went in as an actor.
Right.
So I had the leisurely, you know, luxury, I could come and talk to everybody, but like, I just hit it hard and was like, what's your job? What does this do? What department is this?
Can I say, before you finish your statement here, I've seen you on set. You are one of the best, if not the most friendly actors, actresses I've ever seen on a set. You are constantly talking to crew. You are constantly friending crew. The crew always feels like others on the set. And you have always done such an amazing job at making crew members be like, hey, she thinks I'm a person.
You know, and that's what's so funny is that like, people always say, God, you're so great to work with. And I don't really, like, I can see that I'm not awful to work with. Like, I try to be on board and everything. But then I'll see other people or, like, hear someone like you say, it's like, well, no, not everybody does that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I
worked for a show and the writing offices were here in L.A. So I worked here in the writing offices, but they didn't film here. They filmed up in Vancouver.
Ah.
So I never got to be on set. I very rarely.
The poor man's New York.
Exactly. I'd never really saw a lot of the actors, but man, I would hear horror stories of some people that were just so rude and mean. And it's just unnecessary. Unnecessary.
Yeah, it is very unnecessary.
I don't know. It was one thing that I have always loved about seeing you on set is how you treat the crew.
I like them.
Yeah.
They make me look good. they do their very best. It's a tall order sometimes. But so, the reason is because I know what they all do.
Yes.
Which is what I was, saying is like, I know all the cogs in the machine.
Yeah.
I took the time and I had the very much the interest in understanding what everybody does, and then actors are just like, you're all here to film me.
Right.
And it's like, bitch.
Yeah.
So that's another thing you can do. Now, if you end up being a PA, that is a hard job. That is long hours. Yep. That is lifting waters. Not like, cases of water.
Not a cup of water.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, my back.
This Avion bottle is so much.
It's just, the first thing I always think of when somebody mentions a PA is somebody unloading cases and cases of bottled water.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true.
It's very true.
Very true.
But it would give you the opportunity to meet people, to whatever, and explore what production is and what lies in production. Because Clark is right. There's like pre-production. There's production on set. There's production offices. There's post-production. There's, what's it called? Even other shit.
I mean, you could even go into advertising.
That's the word I couldn't think of. Like promotion.
Yeah.
I was just really trying to think of that. I was just seeing like big posters of people's faces. It is a lot, unfortunately, about who you know.
Right.
And you're starting off like, you're cold calling.
Right.
So if the first thing you do is see, here are the news programs. Here's what's filming here. Here's what's ever. Put together a resume, put together a cover letter and send it out.
Yeah.
Don't do a headshot.
No, don't do a headshot.
And don't necessarily, say, because another thing that people will think is like, oh, you want a job as a PA, of course, so you can get on set and be an actor.
Exactly.
And it's like, that doesn't sound like it's your intention, but that is a thing where it's like, tell your story walking.
Yeah. And make sure your resume isn't like, in January of 2020, I played Birdie in a local production of Bye Bye Birdie. Yeah. And then in 2019, I was in Sweeney Todd in the background.
And that's what happens to me, though. When I have to put together like a business resume, it looks like I was in jail for 20 years. Because there's this big gap in my employment from like 1993 to 2001. Right. And it's like, I was at the Institute for Nickelodeon. And then my like regular little job startup.
Right.
It's like, exactly. Well, what did you do during that time? Just some stuff. Here's some YouTube links. I wasn't in jail. But I would just really, just put together a resume, put together a cover letter saying, look, I'm here to start at the bottom. What do you got?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a little more professionally than that.
Yeah, but that's roughly what it should say.
And send it out to just anybody there, because all it takes, is jobs beget jobs.
Right.
So many of it is like, oh, my friend's crewing up on another show. They recommended me.
Right.
And that goes from PA to lighting, whatever.
Well, like you said, it's all about who you know. So if you don't know anyone right now, being a PA will put you in front of the right people that you need to know.
Exactly.
And if you do a good job and impress them, then they'll know you and bring you along to the whatever next project they want to do.
Precisely.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully that helps, Jazz. I love your name.
We're going to see her as like the main anchor on Philly One News next week.
Hi, I'm Jazz, and this is the news. This is weather. Oh, she's a weather girl. All right. We're moving on to our next question. And our next question comes from a gentleman named Steven. And Steven says, what is the best way to get over being rejected by someone you're absolutely fond of?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, a simple question, but a punch in the gut.
Let me write into another advice show real quick and ask this question for myself.
Right?
My general tack is to obsess over it for 2 months to 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere between that.
Okay.
To constantly check up on social media, to envision how we're going to get married in the first song at our wedding, and then also how I'm going to run into them when I look really great afterwards and tell them off for not loving me.
Okay.
It's a real mixed bag.
That's a pretty specific plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
But actually his thing sounds more like, you know, like, I really like you. Do you want to go out? No.
No, exactly.
So... And here's what I'm really trying to focus on.
Okay.
It's like, I just want a man who wants to be with me.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to be with me, I don't really want you.
Yeah.
But why can't I tell myself that? Oh, my God. Oh. Listeners, call back in and tell me that.
Oh.
That's really what I've tried to focus on.
Yeah.
In the recent past.
Okay.
Is like, because a lot of it for me is like, well, but it would be perfect if.
Right.
You know, and it's like, no, it's not even a thing. It's not even imperfect.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult because so much of it is built up in fantasy. It's never been real.
Yeah, that's right.
It's never been real.
That's right.
And I just clinked my glass.
Hey. That's a sound of a glass filled with yummy ice.
It is. this episode is brought to you by ice. Coming to get all of your Hispanic neighbors, one citizen at a time.
Oh,
I know, no, right?
Bad ice. Bad ice.
So is this from Steven,
Steven, yeah, Steven.
Steven, that is my best advice that I need to take myself.
Yeah.
What's the reality of it? And yes, if you went to the trouble to ask someone out, I'm really proud of you.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm really impressed.
That's great.
And hopefully, and you know, you don't say what kind of rejection. It wasn't like, you know, I don't want to ruin our friendship, or like, how did you get this number?
Yeah, exactly.
Or you're supposed to be 300 yards from me at all times. Right.
Please get out of my bathroom.
Exactly. Whatever that situation, I just pictured like her opening the toilet and him being like,
howdy.
Like somehow he just like worked it out. Everything I think is a cartoon.
Why is Steven a droopy dog?
He's
like, she keeps trying to throw him over the cliff.
Yeah.
And
I
then
know,
she'll
right?
open up a door and he's still there.
No. So not knowing the rejection, the intensity of the rejection.
Yeah.
And the intensity, you know, it's very nice actually that you use the words fond of. I'm absolutely fond of this person.
Yeah.
So hopefully that wasn't like the 80th draft and your first one was like murderously obsessed.
Right.
How do you deal being rejected from the woman that is going to marry you?
Oh.
Dead or alive?
No.
But, you know, it sucks, and that's the price. Not the price, you know, no pain, no gain.
Yeah.
You take the risk.
That's the risk.
There's
you
risk
take.
And reward, and then there's risk, you know, consequences. And it's never going to suck. Like it wouldn't be like, no, well, thank you for your time.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's about, for me, trying to really keep a lid on my fantasy of what it was, what it was supposed to be, what it was supposed to fix, what it was going to mean, and what the next 30 years would look like, as opposed to going like, that was it.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks. Being rejected sucks regardless.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, I'm sorry, baby. Yeah. I wouldn't have rejected you. Or maybe I would have. I don't know. He's like, I'm absolutely fond of you, LB. Yeah, Steven, I'm right with you.
Yeah.
Let's deal with let's deal with what we have in our lives and not what could be, because that's what gets me in trouble.
Yeah. Oof.
If I spend enough time thinking about what could be, I start to convince myself it really could be.
Yeah. Then the depression of the rejection is like amplified by 12. Anyway. Hopefully, Steve, that helps. If you have more information that you want to add to the story so we can give you more precise.
Yeah, let us know who it is.
We can help out if you want to be a little bit more specific. But until then.
Yes.
We have one final question for today. Are you ready? Yeah. Yes, this is good. We have one last question, and this is from Genevieve.
Ooh.
Yeah, I like that name. We have good names today. I like these. Genevieve says, my mother and biological father as a pair were such a train wreck that she never even bothered to file for child support because she didn't want him to have rights to then see me. And he refused to acknowledge my existence for years. I grew up calling my grandfather dad because he became my other legal guardian. I had a good life overall, albeit my mother had some mental health issues. I'm 40 now. I have my own kid and a husband. My feeling is both my mother and biological father had serious issues, and I hold no animosity towards my father. When my mother heard I might meet up with my half-siblings maybe in the future, she reacted poorly. Like, what the fuck? Why would I want to be that close to those people? Well, I've been talking to my younger brother for a year on the phone, and I met him in person recently. I adore him. I've told a bunch of friends. I want to tell the world I have this amazing brother. I really want to share this with my mother because otherwise we're pretty close. I also don't want her to find out from someone else. I'd rather it come from me. But other family members say I shouldn't tell my mother, that she can't handle it. Do I tell her? What do I say? How do I respond if she gets really angry? And that's Genevieve.
Genevieve.
Yes.
Yikes-a-rama.
Yeah.
Because there's so much awesomeness in there.
I know. This is exactly what we were saying about Steven's question. Like, this is all the info.
Yes.
This isn't a vague question. This is detailed information.
So first of all, like, crazy awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, except for the part where your mom's a wreck. but what I was just thinking of was you'd frame it in this way that's like, you know, you do want to share this with your mom. Your mom's important and you're close to her, like you say.
Yeah.
And you can, it's not, you know, so hard to have that understanding of, well, I'm the one that raised you and he did nothing and he was awful and all of this and why would you want anything to do with them?
Right.
But it's like, it's them.
That's the key.
It's them. It's not him.
That's really the key.
Is it him? Did she say that?
He's not in, like, she says she doesn't have any resentment towards him, but she is not talking to him. She's not meeting with him. This is all just the brother.
Okay. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could even, like, I'm trying to think of how I would phrase this to your mom as, like, gratitude. Like, thanks for getting knocked up by this guy.
You put it as, I'm not talking about my biological dad. He's a different subject. This is a different person. This isn't the person that you knocked you up.
Yeah.
This is just some dude that had a troubled dad that I can commiserate with.
Yeah.
Right? It as like, hey, I just want to be friends with somebody that's, you know, in a similar situation as I am.
And might have a spare kidney.
That's a great thing, too.
Exactly.
That's perfect.
But I think that's, like, I get that.
Yeah.
But then I also don't want Genevieve to have to, like, downplay what her deal is.
Right.
You know,
that's true.
Because it's like, you know, yeah, mom, I get it. And I get the resentment towards this fucking guy who was such a mess. You were like, I don't want to do anything to even give it a chance of him coming back into our lives.
Right.
But this isn't, you know, this isn't about him. This is about, I have a brother.
Yeah.
I have other family.
Exactly.
And it's not like, you know, there's going to be that feeling of like, but aren't I enough?
Right.
Says Mom, aren't I enough? And whether, you know, whatever her reasoning is in that, it shouldn't preclude you. And it's not precluding you from going out and meeting and getting to know your flesh and blood.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can try to share that with her. It doesn't have to be like, oh, here's what we did. And here's be part of my trip that I took. Let me show the pictures. She could just say like, it's really nice to have someone to commiserate with.
Exactly.
It's really great to have another point of view.
Right.
On my, you know, my life.
Yeah.
Because we had the opposite, but the same.
Now, it's.
And you can share that with your mom as far as what you're getting from the situation.
Yeah.
You know, and because if your mom wants you to be happy, which we assume she does.
Sure.
Then that should at least be satisfying. And if she then goes, I don't want to talk about this, you're dead to me, then you go, okay, I won't tell you anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And back out slowly.
Well, hopefully that helps, Genevieve. Other than that, though, that was our last question of the day.
Last one?
Last one. So we are done.
Okay.
I'm so happy. This was a fun podcast. We got some good. I like the names. I was just happy with the names we got.
Genevieve
and Jazz.
Jazz.
Yeah, so just badass names.
Jazz hands.
If you guys out there listening, if you have a question or a decision that's waiting.
If you have a name.
If you have a badass name, please send it to us and let LB laugh at your name. Send us your problems or your names at AskLoriBeth.com. You can follow us on all the socials at AskLoriBeth, or just leave us a message with your voice at 1-855-336-2374. That's 1-855-DENBERG or 1-855-Denberg.
And you can find me on Instagram at LBDenberg. LBDenberg.com every time. I can't do it. I'm on Instagram. I'm at LBDenberg. I'm 1,000 years old. I am on Twitter at Lori Beth Denberg, and there is the Lori Beth Denberg fan page on Facebook.
That's right.
You can book me for, hey, Rosh Hashanah's coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Rosh Hashanah. If you want to send a Day of Atonement cameo from me to someone you love / hate / need to apologize for. If you need to atone, I'm the Jew to help you.
Or if you just want to get a cameo where you just drink and eat yummy ice.
Yes.
That would totally be doable too now.
And I could do that on Rosh Hashanah.
There you go.
No, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur.
Which is the Day of Atonement, which we were just talking about. I think I blew it and said the wrong one.
That's all right. Anyway, tomato, tomato.
Exactly. So you can book me for anything at cameo.com/LoriBeth.
That's right.
And I don't know. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling and listening. And we'll talk to you next week.
Can't wait to get your questions, babies. Bye-bye.
That Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com, or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.